comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Luke, who do we have on the line?
Yeah, we got Adam from Greenfield calling in now.
Adam from Greenfield, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Adam?
I was calling. I work with a state environmental organization and just wanted to make people aware of the Natural Resources Board is voting tomorrow. To institute an immediate wolf hunting, trapping, and hounding season in Wisconsin to happen immediately within 60 days. And they've only given public 2 days notice to submit comments. So fortunately, even now the comments is lapsed. It's in violation of several ordinances and a lot of ethical issues, as well as very anti-science. So it's really despicable. They're doing it because of the bequest of the Republicans in the state assembly in particular, who have been pushing aggressively to, you know, obviously have the wolf delisted and then to reinstitute hounding, trapping, and some pretty vicious hunting.
And thank you for calling that in. Everybody out there listening, trapping, I think, is a very cruel practice. They get trapped. You don't just trap wolves. You trap a lot of other things. You'll trap dogs. And it's just wrong. Trapping is wrong. It shouldn't occur. And as far as a wolf season, Adam, I want to thank you for calling in and suggest that everybody out there, all our listeners, call the DNR and call Tony Evers. I mean, Tony Evers is the governor of the state. Say you don't want trapping of wolves and you don't want a wolf season and just put some pressure on. I mean, at some point, the Republicans did a lot of bad things. They, in the lame duck session, they took a lot of powers away from Evers and from Josh Call, for that matter. But the fact is that Evers is still the governor and the DNR is still in this case somewhat part of his administration, and just call them and say, you know, we talk about the environment all the time. Well, how about doing something about the environment all the time? Okay. And here it is. Adam, thank you. That's an excellent point of view. Call them more often with environmental or any questions. And everybody out there, you don't want a trapping season for wolves and hunt season, but trapping in particular, call them. Call the DNR. Call him right now. Thank you for calling. Back on the lines. Who's on the line, Luke?
Yeah, up next we got Dave from Madison calling in.
Dave from Madison. Thanks for calling, my friend. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Hello. Once again, it's great to hear your show. I can't believe that it's finally over, and everyone wants to think that we're going to get back to America again. And I have this one thing about being a patriot, and I have to come out and say this. It's hard to say. I come from the formerly great state of Wisconsin, which, you know, has been neutered. As far as being a patriot, I have a very hard time with that when I consider that half the people apparently in my formerly great state of Wisconsin and apparently half of the country thought that that guy should be our great leader. The most famous thing he did was have a crappy so-called reality show where his main thing was, you're fired. But what I'm saying is, and what did he do? He fired a lot of good people. But anyway, my best thinking about being a patriot to serve my country is any way I can, besides going over to join a war in countries that most Americans don't care about. The Russians, you know, tried to invade Afghanistan, and they're right north of their border, and they pulled out of there so long ago. And people don't know their history. We're famous for not knowing our history in America. But to be a real patriot, You should not be one of the apparently 50% of people in this country. Could that be right? Who thought that this man is a great leader and all that he did, and we've been hearing all about it, which is good. And I don't know. So to be a real patriot, how should I serve my country? I'm kind of a beat up 67-year-old guy and so forth. It would not be, but I mean, if half of this country, you tell me, man, if half of this country believes that this should have been the leader and still believe, and they also don't want to hear about face masks and practicing social distances after all the warnings, and they are in effect helping to kill themselves and others as such, it's hard for me to feel like a patriot. I just had to bring that out.
I mean, you care about the country. We are patriots, and I think it's important to be patriots. I think that Joe Biden's call for unity was important. And let me tell you my take on it. There are a handful of people who voted for Trump because, you know, frankly, some of the QAnon types and the real right-wing types are real pathological. But the vast majority were simply ordinary Americans. And they're Republican, or they used to be Democrat, now they're Republican, they're independents. And he didn't get half the vote. He got 74 million votes. Biden got 83 million. Biden got like 51.5%. Trump got about 48%. So it's a little under half. But you're always going to find that presidential elections aren't 90-10 blowouts. I mean, presidential elections, there's a history to both parties. Trump has corrupted his party and torn it apart. But here's my view of it. I know people who voted for Trump. None of the people that I know voted for Trump are bad people at all. Some of the people I know quite well, and they voted for him for particular reasons. They may have been taxes, immigration, foreign policy. I disagree with them. I was a Biden guy very early on, but I don't think that we write off 48 or 49% of the country over a vote. Because when you look at it, the fact is our democracy held. The fact is Biden did win. And he won Georgia and Arizona. These are red states. And he won Nevada. That's a very purple state. And he took back Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And these are, that was the blue wall, the upper Midwest, that's changing quite a bit. And he got Minnesota by a large amount this time, whereas Hillary, very small amount. So the fact is, you have to look at the nation as a whole. How did our institutions hold? Well, first of all, Biden won. Secondly, the military held. The military put out a statement through the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, at General Milley. We're not getting involved in elections. That's for the courts and that's for the Congress. There's no military in South America, Asia, or Africa who would have put out that kind of a statement. None. Period. End of story. They would lick their chops to take power. Didn't happen. Our media held tough, even though they were under attack. Trump said they were the enemy of the people. But the New York Times, the Washington Post, national newspapers, the networks, they held. They held tough, and they criticized Trump. And they got death threats. Some of their reporters, Katie Tour of MSNBC, needed an escort to get to her car because Trump would turn on these people and say, look who that is and what they said about me. And there'd be a roar of a mob. And yet the journalists hung tough. They hung very, very tough. We took two Senate seats in Georgia. Now, Georgia, to take president and two Senate seats in Georgia, of all places, you don't get much more red than Georgia. Seriously, you don't get much more red than Georgia. They have a Republican governor, secretary of state, and legislature. That shows that our democracy held. So you can't insist on perfection, in my view. You can't say, well, people voted for him. Okay, they voted for him. With regard to Afghanistan, you raise a very profound point. And not only did the Russians invade Afghanistan and leave, the British invaded Afghanistan in the 19th century and were driven out too. The fact is that Afghanistan we call it a country, but you know, it's not really a unified country. It's a system of tribes. And it also is really reminiscent of cultures going back before the Middle Ages, going back 2,000 or more years. The sad thing about Afghanistan, the Taliban, you know, we keep talking about somehow negotiating with the Taliban. You can't negotiate with the Taliban. They'll murder people and have suicide bombings. They attack Christians. They attack Shiites. They attack any ethnic or religious minority in the entire area in Afghanistan. That spills over to Pakistan as well. So what do you do? What do you do? Modern weapons don't work. You don't bomb people on donkeys and onesies or twosies. Guy's riding a donkey and he's having somebody sitting behind him. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it is a deeply, deeply disturbed and defective culture. The people are not defective. No, people are defective. We're all equal in the eyes of God. But that particular culture over there, they will murder girls who go to school. They'll murder girls who go to school. They'll murder women they think are immodest. And that is a problem with jihadist culture, and not just if in Afghanistan. We can't have that spread to the United States and Europe. It's already starting to spread somewhat in Europe. And we've got to hang tough. And Biden had better keep that in mind. The people that are being genocided in the Middle East are Christians and Yazidis. And that's a finding of our State Department, even before Trump. They're the ones who should be given refuge. People from other jihadist cultures who simply want to be here because they'll do better, or there's warfare in their country started by them as they attack each other. They have got to be relocated somewhere else. And we have got to work with their cultures to stop murdering minorities. But if Afghanistan, Trump reduced our forces to about 2,500. I'm concerned about that. If you have 2,500 guys, they can't even protect themselves. They can easily be overrun. They can be overrun. So you either have a force or you don't. I think eventually we withdraw, and it's about time we do it. But we have got to keep a special forces presence, and certainly an air presence when you have Taliban starting to swarm in and welcome back Al-Qaeda. They're all Sunnis, so Al-Qaeda, welcome back ISIS. Then we have got to take action, but not with ground troops, not with ground troops. Very complicated situation. We're going to a break. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.